Hey, good evening, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Ches. We left off on daf Zayin on the base. We're at Amar Rabbi Yochanan, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of the page. The line right above the picture with the circle on it. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbert in commemoration of his second yard site, Arav Baruch Tzvi, Ben Ruven Nassan Zichrono Levracha. It's also sponsored by Chani and J.J. Hornblast to commemorate the third yard site of J.J.'s father, Jerome Hornblast, Yaakov Ben Moshe Zichrono Levracha, on the 8th of Av. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of completing Maseches Yoma and commencing Maseches Sukkah, and it's also in honor of Dr. Mark Friedman's 70th birthday from his children and grandchildren. Happy birthday. You should have many, many more in good health. It's also sponsored as Chusur for Shlema for Bela Bas Rezel Besok Shar Chole Yisrael. So we thank all of the sponsors a lot today. All the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and today what we're going to discuss is geometry. We're going to figure out how to make a circular sukkah and figure out how to make it the proper size, assuming that you hold that a regular sukkah needs to be dalet amos al dalet amos. What would the equivalent of that be if you were making a circle? So the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time, the entire Amud Aleph actually, discussing that, because there's a cryptic statement that Rabbi Yochanan makes about how many people would have to fit around the circumference of that circle, and it doesn't seem to conform to any mathematical equations. That's why the Gemara goes back and forth. The Gemara doesn't get to start from scratch and just figure out how big the circle has to be. The Gemara has to fit it into what Rabbi Yochanan said, which makes it more challenging. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about if you have two sukkahs, one inside of the other. If you have shtei sukkos shel yotzrim, people who are potters and they use the inner room to sleep and to live, and the outer room is where they sell their wares. So which one is chayiv in sukkah? Which one is kosher for sukkah? Which one is chayiv in mezuzah? The rest of the daf discusses sukkahs ganvach and sukkahs Rakvash. Sukkahs Ganvach, we're going to see, is a sukkah of Goyim, Nashim, Behema, or Kutim, so it's an abbreviation is Ganvach, and Sukkahs Rakvash is Sukkahs Roim, Sukkahs Kayotzim, Sukkahs Borgonim, Sukkahs Shomrei Peiro. So we're going to see the differences between Sukkahs Ganvach and Sukkahs Rakvash, why one is a bigger Kiddush than the other to be Kasher, and we'll see when we get there. So let's begin, again, about 8 lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Sukkah Kivshan. If you have a sukkah that is shaped like a kivshan, that's a fancy way of saying circular. If there's enough space on the circumference of that circle for 24 people to make a human circle to sit around the circumference of that circle, then it's going to be kosher. The Sfasemes raises the issue. You know, we've been talking about how many walls you need a sukkah to have. So shtayim kilchasan shlishes afilu tevach. How do you do that on a circle, right? Meaning is, what's the equivalent of shtayim kilchas and shlish afilu tefach when it comes to a circle? So on the one end, you might say, says the Sfas Emes, that half of the circle has to be fully walled in, that's shtayim kilchasan, and then another tefach that goes beyond the halfway point. Or maybe, he says, by such a sukkah that doesn't have any corners, maybe it all needs to be closed in, at least omid merubala parts, that you have a majority of wall, and because there's nothing that you can't call anything one wall versus the other. There's no end point to any particular wall, so maybe it's just one big halacha that needs to be omid merubah al haparetz, rather than fully enclosed on half of the circle and then an extra tefach. So Sfas Emes is not entirely sure how one would go about measuring that. But either way, Rabbi Yochanan's point is, Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is, that you need to have a circle that's large enough for 24 people to fit on the perimeter, on the circumference of the circle. So v'imlav, and if you don't have space for 24 people on the circumference of the circle, psula. So says Mark Kiman. So right off the bat, we first have to figure out which of the three shitos in Tanaim is Rabbi Yochanan assuming like, because we have three shitos how large a sukkah has to be. Beis Hillel holds 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. Beis Shammai holds 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. And Rebbe holds much, much larger, 4 amos by 4 amos. So says Gemara, clearly Karebi, Davar kol sukkah shein ba'ar ramos al ramos psula. Clearly the assumption over here is we're working with shitas Rebbe, that the largest of the possibilities. In fact, it's such a large shear that the Gemara put Rebbe on the list as one of the 8 shitos that must be based in the principle of sukkah diras keva bi'inan. Right? That's what we closed the daf with yesterday, that there are 8 different shitos that are based on the concept or the principle of requiring a diras keva. So it must be that that we're assuming like Rebbe, the largest possible minimum shear. So michbi gavra ba'am siyasiv. But wait a second, each human being takes up one amma of space. So when you say that 24 people have to fit around the circumference of the circle, that's another way of saying that the circumference of the circle has to be 24 amos. Well, kol sheyesh be'kevur shosh tefachim yesh be'rochav tefach. If it's 24 amos around the circumference, what would be the diameter of the circle? That's what's called diameter, that goes, the line that goes straight through the middle of the circle. Yeah, what would be the diameter of the circle? So it would, we assume that pi equals 3. So if it's a 24 amma diameter of the, if it's a 24 amma circumference of the circle, the diameter is going to be 8, because 8 times 3 is 24. So wait a second, Rebbe only holds the sukkah needs to be 4 amos from end to end. Why over here would we require a circular sukkah to be 8 amos from end to end? So the Gemara says, "Michli gavra b'amos yosef kol sheyesh be'kevur shosh tefachim yesh be'rochav tefach." So betreis sagi, all you should really need is 12 people sitting around the circumference of the circle. Meaning the circumference should only have to be 12 amos, because if the circumference is 12 amos, then the diameter is 4 amos. And that's the actual shear that Rebbe gave. That when you have a square sukkah, it's only, it's 4 by 4 amos. So maybe by a circular sukkah, it also only needs to be 4 amos across. And if it's 4 amos across, it's 12 amos in circumference. Says Gemara, no, that wouldn't work. How do you mean to be a gula of beribua by its fang? That when we say that 4 across will be 12 amos around, that's on a circle. But when Rebbe said that you need a 4 by 4 amos sukkah, he was talking about a square. So clearly the perimeter of the square is way more than 12, right? So Rebbe requires a sukkah that the edges are much more than 12 amos. So says Gemara, michli, how much more? Kama meruba yosra li'igul revia. How much more is the perimeter of a square than the circumference of an equivalent circle, that where the line across is the same amount? Meaning, if you have a square that end to end is 4 amos, and you have a circle that end to end is 4 amos, meaning that the diameter is 4 amos, so how much larger is the perimeter of that square than the circumference of that circle? So very simple, revia, it's 1/4 larger, or it's not what we would call 1/4, we'd call it 33% larger, but this is a revia milavar, so it's 1/4 larger, so b'shitzer sagi, so meaning if the circumference of the circle is 12, then the square would be 16. I don't know why the Gemara has to do the math that way. The easy way to do the math is, if you have a 4 by 4 amasuka, the perimeter is 16. So if you want an equivalent circle, you should have a circle that the circumference is 16. That's where the Gemara is holding right now. That's what it's really asking. So let the circumference just be 16, because that would be the equivalent of Rebbe's, that would be the equivalent of Rebbe's 4 by 4 amos. Says Gemara, no, it won't be, because hani mili be eagle denafik migo rivua. That's only if you take a square and circle it out. But aval rivua denafik migo igula, meaning the difference between 1/4, the 1/4 difference between circumference and perimeter of a square is the 25. The 1/4 difference is when you have an eagle that a circle that's inside of a square. Aval rivua denafik migo igula. But let's say you draw a circle around the square, then by its fei, then the circle is going to need to be much larger. The circumference of the circle is going to have to be much larger. Mishum morsha dekarnisa, because a circle that's drawn around the square encloses a much larger area than the square that's inside of that circle encloses. Note the bottom picture of the two pictures that appear in the Gemara over here, right? The top picture is a square around a circle. So a square around the circle is what we were talking about up until this point. That if that circle has a circumference of 12, then the square is going to be a perimeter of 16. But in the bottom picture, where the circle goes around the square, clearly if that square is 16, the circle around it is going to have a circumference that's much larger. So says Gemara, how much larger? How do you do that equation? If you have a square that's 4 by 4 amos, and you draw a circle around it, what is the circumference of the circle that's around it? So says Gemara, here's the equation. The Gemara does not say a squared plus b squared equals c squared, which is what the Gemara should say, right? Meaning if you want to draw a diagonal in a square, you should say, and you want want to know the length of that diagonal, which is the same as saying the diameter of that circle, you should say a squared plus b squared equals c squared, right? That's not what the Gemara says. Instead, the Gemara says, Michti kol amsa b'ribua amsu trechumshi ba'lachsona. So for each amma on the side of a circle, the diagonal is going to be 1.4 amos. So on the side of a square, rather, the diagonal of that square is going to be 1.4 amos, which is close to a squared plus b squared equals c squared. But when you're dealing with a square, and so both sides are the same, so if you take one amma of the side, you multiply that by 1.4, and that's what it will yield in the diagonal. So if you have four amos on the side of a square, each side of the square is four amos, the diagonal in that square is going to be four times 1.4, which in layman's terms is 5.6, right? So it's going to be 5.6 amos from end to end, diagonally across the square, which if you look at that bottom picture, is also the diameter of the circle. So 5.6 amos is going to be the diameter of the circle. If you have a 5.6 amos diameter in your circle, what is the circumference of your circle? So again, the Gemara makes another assumption that we've discussed already, that the assumption is pi equals, not 3.141, whatever it is, pi equals 3, just 3 even. That's the assumption the Gemara always makes. So if you have a 5.6 diameter of your circle, and you multiply that by 3, by pi, which is 3, you will end up with 16.8 as your circumference, right? So says the Gemara that michti kol amsa b'ribua amsa trechum shiba lachsona, that every amma along the side of the square ika translates to 1.4 amos in its diagonal. So you should only need 16.8 amos of circumference on that circle in order for it to be kosher. Meaning, if a kosher circular sukkah has to be a circle that's large enough to fit around a 4x4 amma square, that means it needs a circumference of 16.8 amos. And that is not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan instead said you need 24 people to fit around it, and we assume each person takes up an amos. It's 24 amos. So says Gemara, yeah, okay, lo duck. He wasn't being so precise. You're right, it really only needs to be 16.8 amos. So he just picked a number, you know, that was near there, 24. It's also a two-digit number. So he picked that number as well. So says the Gemara, come on. Eimer damrina lo duck porta. You're going to be imprecise. You'll be imprecise by a little bit. But tuva mi amrina lo duck. But to be that far off between 16.8 and 24, you know how you round up 16.8? You round it up to 17. You don't round up 16.8 to 24. That's insanity. So says Gemara, amrei markshish b'rav chisla ravashi. Maybe one of the assumptions we're making is wrong. We're assuming that when Rabbi Yochanan said you need 24 people to fit around the circumference, we're assuming that Rabbi Yochanan meant that each person takes up an amos, so it's 24 amos around the sukkah. Maybe not. Mi sabr gavra ba amsi yosef? Tlasa gavri betarti amsi yosef. Who says that a person takes up a full amma? Maybe for every three people, they take up two amos. Now that question is a little bit odd. The Aruch Lener says, we already discussed. What's the minimum size of a sukkah according to Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai? Right, Beis Hillel said 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. Why? Because that's the space that a human being takes up, 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. The shear of a mikveh is the amount of water that fits into a box that's one amma by one amma by three ammas tall. Why? Because that's the size of a human being, is one amma by one amma. So now all of a sudden the Gemara is going to suggest that it takes that three people can fill two amos, three people can fit in two amos. So the Aruch Lener says, yeah, the Gemara must be assuming that when you're sitting in a sukkah or standing in a mikveh, you're a little more relaxed and spreading out. But we're talking about how many people, if you squeeze them, if you really squeeze the people around the circumference of the circle, like someone was telling me that they went to a yeshiva for Yom Narayim this past year, and they were told that it's only going to be 50% capacity because of COVID. He said, I don't know what capacity normally is, but it certainly didn't feel like 50%, meaning like probably capacity was twice that amount. If you really squeeze together, you know, if you really squeeze people in very tightly. So maybe that's what it means, that they squeeze them in very tightly. And really, if they're when Rabbi Yochanan said 24 people, what he really meant is 16 amos around. Oh, and that's only a little bit off, because it only needs to be 16.8 8 amos. So says Gemara that Misam Gabamos. So Kama Havaluhu Sheitzar. So what's that going to be? It's going to be 16. So says Gemara Anam Shivsim Lichichum Shavi Inam. But wait, 16 is not the right number either. It needs to be 16.8. We already did the math. How big the circle has to be, and the circle needs to have a circumference of 16.8 amos. So the math still doesn't work out. Says Gemara Lo Dak. Yeah, but 16 to 16.8 is only off by a little bit. So maybe we're being imprecise about that. Says Mar Ema Damrin Lodak Lechumra Lekula Miyamrin Lodak. You could be imprecise if you err on the side of caution, but you cannot be imprecise if you're going to come up by telling people, you just get a 16 amma circumference. What if they listen to you and they get exactly a 16 amma circumference? It's going to be puzzle, because if it needs to be 16.8, and an inch less than that is puzzle. So you can't be Lodak in such a way that it's going to lead people to have a puzzle of sukkah. So that can't be the explanation. So again, let's go back to the assumption the Gemara says. We're going to go back to the assumption that one person takes up one amma. And when Rabbi Yochanan said you need 24 people around the circumference of the circle, it's 24 ammas that those people take up. So we're going to go back to that assumption, that one person takes up one amma. Rabbi Yochanan, Malkum Gavri lo kachashiv. It's not that the 24 people are sitting inside the circle or making up the circle. The 16 people are sitting outside of the circle is drawn inside. I'm sorry, the sukkah is drawn outside of them. They're sitting inside the circle. The circle is the other way around. They're sitting outside of the circle. The circle is drawn inside of where they are, which means that the amma that their body is taking up on either side doesn't count toward the circle. So if you're going to say 24 amma circle has an 8 amma diameter, yeah, but what if you minimize the diameter, it's only 6 ammos? What if you have a diameter that's only, why would you have a diameter that's only 6 ammos? Because the 8 amma diameter assumes 1 amma of width of the people's bodies on either side. But if you take away the width of the people's bodies on either side, you have only a 6 amma diameter. Ooh, a 6 amma diameter makes a circumference of 18 amos, and that's kind of close to 16.8. So says the Gemara, if he's not counting the space that the people themselves are taking up, so how large is the circumference then of the circle that Rabbi Yochanan is drawing? It's 18. So says the Gemara, but wait, it only needed to be 16.8, so why is Rabbi Yochanan requiring 18? That's where we're being imprecise, and we're being imprecise l'chumra. So yeah, Rabbi Yochanan said, get an 18 amma circumference. Do you really need an 18 amma circumference? No, you don't really. You need 16.8 amos, but he's just being low duck. He's being somewhat imprecise. The Ritva raises the question, again, we said before, if you have the number 16.8 and you want to round off, what do you round to? You round to 17, not to 18. Why would Rabbi Yochanan round to 18 and not to 17? So the Ritva says because the numbers just don't work out as well. I mean, you end up with too many fractions. If you're dealing with a pi that is 3, so then it's and you have 18. 18 works out very well because it's divisible by 3. 17 is not really divisible by 3, so it just makes it more confusing. So in order to make it easier to deal with the numbers, says the Ritva, that's why Rabbi Yochanan rounded up to 18 as opposed to rounding up to 17, when the real halacha is that you only need 16.8. Now, the assumption that pi equals 3 is itself a very difficult assumption, right? Meaning we know that that's not true. Tosos writes in the Sechz Erev and Daf Yudalid that that is certainly not true. The Rambam writes in the Pirushim Shnayis in the first paragraph of Erevin, Sorech Ataladas, you need to know. Sheyachas Kotar Igula Kefo Bilti Yodua. We don't know what pi is, says the Rambam. V'yev shaladabra love the olam b'diyuk. One can never speak of pi with precision. V'enzo chesro nidiyah mitzidenu, k'mo shechosh masichlim. It's not that we lack knowledge because with Torah is primitive or anything like that, like the fools will tell you. El shadavar ze mitzad tiv'o, bilti noda ve'in b'mitzius el sheyodeya. It is unknowable. The precise number that is pi. We can get close. So, and that's what the Achronim explain. Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara Maseches Erevin and other Achronim explain that when we say that pi equals 3, we're not fools. We know that pi is not 3. We know that pi is certainly more than 3. What we're saying is that the halacha is that pi equals 3. That when making halacha calculations, we're going to have to round off pi anyway to something. So the halacha allows us to round off pi to 3. And that's why, that's how the Achronim explained, the Aruch HaShulchan, Shlomo Kluger, others, the Achronim explained, the Gemara Nerevin asks, how do I know that pi equals 3? And the Gemara says, oh, it's the psukim that describe the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam that Shlomo HaMelech made, the pool that Shlomo HaMelech made, it describes the circular dimension of the pool, and the circumference of the circle is 3 times what it describes the diameter of the circle. So you see that pi equals 3. So the Achronim are bothered, how do I know pi equals 3? You bring a pasuk? How do you know pi equals 3? Take a circle and measure. Measure the diameter, measure the circumference, and then you'll know exactly what, you'll know roughly what pi is. You'll get a much more accurate. Why do I need a pasuk? Tell me, that which my eyes can tell me. So that's what the Achronim explained. The Gemara is not asking, how do I know pi equals 3? The Gemara is asking, how do I know that halachically we're allowed to assume pi equals 3, even though we know that pi does not equal 3? That's the famous comment of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon points out that when the Navi uses the term to describe the diameter of the Yam Shel Shlomo, he uses the term kav, kuf vav, and it's a kri and a ksiv over there, whether it's kuf vav or kuf vav hey. And says the Vilna Gaon, through that kri and ksiv, the Navi is alluding to us, the Navi is hinting to us that they were well aware that pi is not exactly 3. Because if you were to take the ratio of 106 to 111, the gematria of kuf vav to kuf vav hey, and then you were to, if you were to put on one side of the equation, 106 over 111 equals 3 over x, solve for x, so x will be 3.14, meaning it will get pi to a much more accurate number. It works. So the Vilna Gaon noticed that. I think Zavilna going to notice that, but as he says, you see in the Kriya and Ksiv, there's already a hint to the fact that pi is certainly not 3. We're very well aware of that. There's also a discussion in the halacha. Do you have to? Meaning the Gemara also assumes that for every side of a square, for every amma on the side of a square, it's 1.4 ammas across the diagonal of the square. That is not the same as a squared plus b squared equals c squared. It's not as accurate as a squared plus b squared equals c squared. So what do we do about that? So some hold that you always need to go to Chumrah. I mean, what should you do? Should you, when you're measuring halachically, should you measure precise measurements or this 1.4 type of measurement? So some hold you always got to go to Chumrah. Others say that such a sheet is quoted in the Tashbetz in Chelek Aleph Simkuf Samachay. Tashbetz himself disagrees, and he says, no, you go after the shear that the Gemara says, 1.4, and you eat bein l'kula bein l'chumra. You're allowed to rely on the shear the Gemara says, at 1.4 in the diagonal, and that's perfectly fine. And others hold, you always have to measure with precision. But Chazal didn't write the exact precise shear when they were teaching the Talmidim, because chayav adu l'shanus l'talmidim b'darach k'tzara. Person always has to teach his Talmidim in the shortest possible way, in the most direct possible way. And Chazal said, you'll learn that when you take math. You know, that you'll when you take when you take geometry, you'll figure that out. But so they were just speaking in shorthand. That's how some of the Achronim say. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yoredei Chelek Beis and Kuf Mem Vav, where he tries to prove that you don't need to be so medaktik, and there's no maila in being perfectly medaktik, because the Shulchan Aruch writes in Rechaim Siman Lamed Beis Sif Lamed Tes that the ribua of the tefillin has to be precise. Orcho karachlo, that the tefillin have to be perfectly square. So the way that we measure the perfect square of the tefillin is that it be roughly 1.4 in the diagonal connected each side of the tefillin. That is not perfectly square. We know that that's not perfectly square. So you see, but it's square enough, meaning the naked eye would never be able to pick up on that. Would never be able to pick up on the fact that it's off. You would need very precise measuring instruments in order to be able to pick up on the fact that it's not a perfect square, and the halacha does not require that. Rav Moshe expresses surprise that they told him that the Briska Rav thought that one should measure with a microscope in order to have, I don't know why he expressed his surprise. He's a brisker, so like everything is perfect precision. Everything is, if there's a chumra you haven't heard of yet, it's just because they haven't thought of it yet. That's the brisker style. But the Moshe was surprised that one could have such a chumra, that they're going to measure with such precision. But all of that, again, is based on this sugya of how to do these geometrical calculations. So now says Gemara, two lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbanan de Kisri ve'amila dayane de Kisri, either the rabbis of Kisri or the dayanim of Kisri, whoever they were, these were people who are apparently respected individuals. Amri, they said, Igula dinafik migol rivua riva. The difference between the circumference of a circle and the square that is drawn around it is a 25% difference, is one quarter of a difference. Like we said before, that if the circumference of a circle is 12, the perimeter of the square that goes around it is going to be 16. So far, so good. So far, what they're saying makes perfect sense. Here's where it goes a little bit off the rails. Ribua dinafik migo igula palga. And if you draw a circle around a square, so if the square is 16, then the circle is going to be it's going to be half off. The shear of the hekif of the ribua that's inside of the eagle is one half off. Meaning, if you have a 16 amma circumference perimeter around the square, that must mean that the circle drawn around it is 24 amas. So it comes out, which would be great for Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan said that 24 amos of the 24 people standing around, and we kept it lo dak, lo chumra lo dak, but because we were assuming that when you draw a line across, it's going to be 5.6, and 5.6 times 3 is going to land you with 16.8. But if you say that it's not that way, that the circle that's drawn around the square is actually going to be 24 amos, it would be great for Rabbi Yochanan. Problem is, the facts are obviously not so. So it says Gemara Velohi, it's just not true. Taha kachazina delavi kolei, because you see that it's not true. This Gemara is used as a raya. This is one of the major discussions in contemporary Achronim, whether Chazal or the Chachamim around in the times of Chazal could have ever been wrong about things that are not directly Torah related, meaning scientific matters, medical matters, geometry, things of that nature. So there is a machlokas. Some held that Rav Shachter certainly held this way, that they were whenever they give medical advice, it's the best medicine of the time that they lived in. Now we have better medicine, and whatever chachma they had was the best that was available to them at the time. So of course they could make mistakes. Look, the Dayani de Kisri, the Chacham of Kisri, made this obvious mistake. So people could certainly make mistakes if no one in the world was aware of these issues at that time. However, Tosos asks, it's lo yitachein that Rabbi Yochanan, the Dayani of Kisri, would have messed up so badly. It's something that you could easily measure. So he said that they had a Kabbalah, the Rabban of the Kisri had a Kabbalah with the Lashon of Rivua Migoi Gula Palga. But what it really meant was something else. It was really about the area, it wasn't about the circumference and the perimeter. So they were just, the way the Gemara originally understood the Kabbalah was wrong. But it's not that their Kabbalah was wrong. Their Kabbalah was right. It was just about something else. It wasn't about the perimeter versus the circumference. That's what Tosos suggests. However, other Rishonim do not like to think that there was any Tosos over here. Meaning, the way Tosos says that the Gemara made a mistake and understood that it was about the circumference versus the perimeter. And they say that it meant that as far as the Shetach, that's the Shita that holds that there was no Tosos versus the first shita, is that there was in fact some sort of ta'us. So that's what Rav Shachter often points out, that there are those that say that anyone who thinks that the Chachamim didn't know everything in medicine and everything in science, everything in mathematics, everything in every other secular field is an apikores. So Rav Shachter said, then you're calling the Chasam Sofer an apikores. You're calling a lot of the Gedolei Torah throughout the generations an apikores. Then if you say that this was a difference of opinion that Chachmei Hadoros had in different generations about what to do about these various statements of Chazal. And this line in the Gemara is often used as part of that conversation. Because over here you have something that the Gemara says is an obvious error. So Amar Rabbi Levi Mishum Rameir. Now a new halacha. Back to halacha. Amar Rabbi Levi Mishum Rameir. Shtei sukos shel yotzrim. Zu lefnimi zu. If you have two sukos of yotzrim, of people who are pot makers, that one is inside the other, that they do all of their work in the back room, right? That's where they produce the material that they're selling, and then they bring it out to the storefront, which is the front room. So hapnimis ein a sukkah, v'chayavs b'mezuzah. The back room where they produce everything is not a sukkah, cannot be kosher for a sukkah, and it's going to be chayiv in mezuzah. Why can't it be vachitzona sukkah? The outer one is kosher for a sukkah, or p'tur min a mezuzah, and it's part from mezuzah. V'amai tavi chitzona kebei shara p'nimis it's chayiv in mezuzah. Wait a second. If the inner room is chayiv in a mezuzah, doesn't that automatically mean that the outer room is chayiv in mezuzah? Because the rule is, whenever you have a room that's chayiv in mezuzah, a base shar on the way into that room is also chayiv in mezuzah. That's the rules of Hilchus Mezuzah. If you have, let's say, in your home, a lot of homes have like this, that when you open up the front door, you go into like this small box, like this little entryway that has like a coat closet on one side, and then there's another doorway that goes into the, you know, the main hall, which is much larger. So when you put a mezuzah on your front door? Of course you do, because it's a base shar into the home, even though the room that it leads into directly is not 4x4 amos, but it's a base shar. So anytime you have a base shar that goes into a larger room, that also is going to require a mezuzah. So says Marno, mishum delo kavia, because it's not kavua, therefore it's not going to require a mezuzah. That the two sukkos are not kavuos, and even the inner one, you don't eat the kavios. Sometimes you eat back at home, and you don't eat in the inner room. So therefore, the sukkah, the inner sukkah, is not so chashuv in order to make the outer sukkah a base shar. In order for the outer place to be a base shar, the inner room has to be a very chashuv room, and that's why it's pater from mezuzah in this case. So says the Gemara. Now the reason the pnimis is a sukkah is a machlokas rishonim. Why is it that the inner room is not valid as a sukkah? What's wrong with using it as a sukkah? So Rashi says because it's not nicker that it's a sukkah because you live there all year round. So it's a sukkah has to be a sukkah v'lo beso shel kol hashana kula. It cannot be the place where you live all year round. The Ran on Daf Talmud Rav B'Dabei Arif writes that it's because it's made ledira and not made l'shem tzel, so therefore it's tasav lo mina asui when you decide to use it as a sukkah. Since when you put it up, it was not made just for the sake of tzel. It was made. It doesn't have to be l'shem sukkah, but it's got to be at least l'shem tzel. So since it was not l'shem tzel, so that's why it's going to be problematic. So the Bach points out in Simtav Reish Lamed Hey that the machlokas is about the din that we're going to have in Yudalit Amar Aleph, that sukkah amarachmana v'lo dira social kol yimos hashana, that the Torah says you need to have a sukkah. Can't be your year-round house. That according to the Ran, when the sukkah is where you live there all year, it's automatically possible. But according to Rashi, if you put up schach kederach hamesach, and you put up schach for tzel, even if it's your dira of kol yimos hashana, it's kshera because you put it has schach on it, and therefore Rashi has to say over here that the psul is that it's not nikker that it's a sukkah, but meikar adin, there's no real chisaron with it. It's only that it's not nikker. The Bach learns that according to Rashi, the psul over here is only psul midrabanan. It's the fact that it's not nikker that's only psul midrabanan, but midaraisa it would be perfectly fine. Now it's interesting, the Rambam just doesn't quote this whole din. He doesn't quote the din of shnei sukkas ayotzrim about sukkah, unlike the Rif and the Rosh and the Tor, who all bring it. So the Aruch Haner explains that the Rambam must learn like Rashi, that the problem is that there's no heker. And based on that, why is sukkah sayotzim pasul, because it's ain't ba heker? Why is that any different than what we're about to learn about sukkah's rakvash, that also has no heker? They live there all year round. It's people who guard the fruits out in the field and things like that. There are sukkah sayotzim and sukkah's rakvash and ganvach are all not kavua. So says the Aruch Haner, it must be that if you passel sukkos hayotzrim, you would also passel sukkos rakvash and ganvach. And maybe the Rambam learned like Rashi, and he paskins that sukkos ganvach and rakvash are kosher. And because he paskins like the Brises that sukkos ganvach and rakvash are kosher, memela sukkos hayotzrim also needs to be kosher. So even the sukkah primus of yotzrim, and that's why, as opposed to the Rif and the Rosh, who passel the inner sukkos hayotzrim, they hold like the Ran. So it turns out, says the Aruch Haner, that the machlokas Rambam versus the Rif and the Rosh is the same machlokas between Rashi and the Ran. So that's a clever twist that he had, that if you hold like Shitas Rashi, then the sugya we're about to see about Sukkas Ganvach and Sukkas Rakvash is very much connected to the sugya that we just completed about the Shnei Sukkas Ayotzim Zulif Nemisu. Tanu Rabbanan. So let's see that sugya now. Ganvach, sukkas goyim, sukkas noshim, sukkas behema, sukkas kutim, a sukkah made by non-Jews, by women, by animals that make shelter for themselves, or kutim, sukkah mikol makom ksheru, or any other type of similar sukkah is kasher. Ublevach tebu sechas kilchsa, as long as it has proper schach in it. So my kilchsa, so what does it mean that it has proper, that it's the schach is done properly? So Rav Chisda v'usha asal, let's sell sukkah, that you have to have put up the schach for the same of sukkah, for the sake of sukkah, for the sake of the shade of a sukkah. We call makom lasu yemei, but we said not only these four examples of gayim and nashim and behema and kutim, we said sukkah mikol makom. So what's sukkah mikol makom? So that's lasu yisukkas rakfash. That comes to include a sukkas rakfash. The Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us what is a sukkas rakfash. Sukkas rakfash, sukkas roim, the sukkah that shepherds make out in the field in order to, when it gets, when the atmospheric conditions become unbearable, so it gives them a little bit of shelter. Or sukkas kayatsim, the people who watch the drying figs that are spread out in the field to dry. Or sukkas borganin, a sukkah that the guards of the city that will use, that's made out of aravos. Or sukkas shomrei peros, a sukkah of people who are watching the vineyards and the gardens. Sukkah mikol makom, and any such similar sukkah, kshera. As long as it's musachachas kilchasa. My kilchasa, what do you mean musachachas kilchasa? I'm Rav Chisda v'shasa, let's sell sukkah. As long as it's made, let's sell sukkah. So, mikol makom lasu yimai. And what does mikol makom come to include in this brisa, the brisa that speaks about sukkas rakvash? Let's see, sukkas ganvach. It comes to include sukkas ganvach, meaning the brisa that spoke about sukkas ganvach then added the word sukkah mikol makom to include sukkas rakvash. The brisa that spoke about sukkas rakvash added the word sukkah mikol makom to include sukkas ganvach. It's interesting, sukkas ganvach, meaning that tells me that if a non-Jew builds a sukkah, it's perfectly kosher. There's nothing wrong with it. That the sukkas ganvach is going to be perfectly kosher. Rav Shachter always tells the story that when he was a little boy, there was a conservative shul in the Bronx, where his father was the rabbi, and his father was not the rabbi in the conservative shul. His father was a rabbi in the Bronx, in an Orthodox shul. There was a conservative shul in the neighborhood, and they hired a new rabbi in the chazan, and the conservative shul was very traditional, and he couldn't stand the rabbi. So everything that the new young conservative rabbi would do, the chazan would run to Rav Shechter's father, to Rav Melech Shechter, and say, "Can you believe what he just did? This is wrong, right?" So one time he came to me and said, "He had a guy built the sukkah. He had a guy build the happy. He had a guy build the sukkah. Can you believe it?" So Shechter's father said to the chazan of the conservative shul, he said, "But wait a second, isn't your sukkah built indoors over the bima in the sanctuary?" He said, yeah, but forget about that. You know, like, put that aside. But he had a guy build a sukkah. So a guy could build a sukkah. That's not a psul. A bigger psul is to build a sukkah indoors, right over the bima. That would be a bigger problem. So, haitana de ganvach, alima le ganvach, mishum de kavi. Why did the Braisa that spoke about sukkahs ganvach not speak about sukkahs rakvash other than beremiza, when it's just a sukkah mikol makom? So it's because it holds that ganvach is stronger because it's more kavua, meaning those are permanent places. The katana mikol makom nasu rakvash delo kavi, and sukkahs rakvash, which are only temporary while you're out guarding the drying figs or whatever, so that's only a temporary dwelling, and therefore it's less significant, and that's why it's only an afterthought. V'haytana de rakvash, and the brisa that taught rakvash directly alimale rakvash to bnei chiyuvininu thought that it's stronger to teach about rakvash because the rakvash are at least people who are chayiv in sukkah, the people who are guarding the fruits and guarding the city. Those are people who are chayiv in sukkah, as opposed to ganvach, which are non-Jews and women and kutim and behemos. Those are all patur from sukkah. So it just includes mikol makom to include ganvach because they're not bnei chiyuva anyway. They're not included in the chiyuv. There is a major discussion in the poskim. Here you have an explicit gemara that women are allowed to build the sukkah. There is also an explicit gemara that women are not allowed to write tefillin. Meaning, you would think women generally, they're probably many very talented and artistic women. So if the field of safrus were open to women, probably we'd have much higher quality safrus, and probably we'd have a lot more people doing it. So why not? So because it's an explicit gemara that kshartem ksavtem, anyone who's not a bar kshira is not a bar ksiva. Anyone who's not chayiv in kshira's tefillin and tying, putting on tefillin is possible to be kosef tefillin as well. So it's so fascinating. Here we have two mitzvahs in the Torah that women are pater from. One, we have an explicit gemara that women can create the cheftza shel mitzvah, and the other is an explicit gemara menachos that women cannot create the cheftza shel mitzvah. And what falls in between? The tzitzis. Tzitzis, we're not told anything. There's no drasha in Shas that tells me whether women are allowed to tie tzitzis. Interestingly, no drasha in Shas or even Rishonim that discuss whether Kitanim are allowed to tie tzitzis. It's like stunning that like this was left out somehow. So the question becomes, what's the rule and what's the exception? So Rabbeinu Tam holds, the Mordechai writes that the minhag is that women make tzitzis. And Hagos Maimonios says that's what Rabbeinu Yehuda told that his wife, that he used to have his wife tie his tzitzis for him. But he says that there was a maisa that Rabbeinu Tam pasled tzitzis that were made by women. And he holds like the Maharam that tzitzis that are made by women are pasled. So Rabbeinu Tam holds the reason for the psul is because they're not petoras tzitzis. And therefore he says it's just like uksharta muksaftem, that women are not able to make tefillin. According to the Maram, the reason for the psul is because the pasuk says Bnei Yisrael va'asu. So from that pasuk, we're memayit nashim, that it's an explicit miyut for nashim. So the Rama writes that lechavchila women should not tie the tzitzis. Lechavchila, but the other, we don't really pass now. The Mishnah Berurah says hu adin, a child that's pasuk miben yud gimel shanim should not tie tzitzis for a gadol. For himself, you know, it's a common fast day activity in camps that they have to entertain the children, so they teach them how to tie tzitzis. So they tie tzitzis for themselves, that's okay. But to tie tzitzis for a gadol, that's going to be problematic. That's something. So there are a lot of kashas in Rabbeinu Tam. It's an interesting discussion. I have a piece on this in my first sefer, actually, about women building a sukkah, because even though it's explicit gemara, that women could build a sukkah, there's bir halacha that says that we should be machmir lechadchil, they shouldn't do that either. That it's only that it's going to be kosher b'diavad, which is a very surprising thing. So you have to figure out where that comes from. So I suggest, made a couple of suggestions in that piece in my first sefer. But okay, we're going to stop there. Belshem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the very top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Have a good evening, everybody. And again, tomorrow's shiur is going to be 1 hour earlier. I apologize for the change of schedule. We have a guest speaker tomorrow. So 5:30 normal people time, right? Which is, no. Is that what it is? Yeah, 5:30 normal people time, which is 4:30 cap time. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Why don't I say